Well, good morning once again and welcome. It's good to see you. If I happen to miss you earlier, my name is Wayne. I'm the pastor here at DCC. And we are engaging this month in a conversation about elusive things that we tend to chase, that we think are going to make us happy, and looking at the deep things that go underneath that. And these are critical conversations about our heart and where Jesus is wanting to lead us towards significance and meaning, and identifying things that themselves can be a good thing that God may give us, but don't always. But we make them more than they should be. And so Jesus was always engaging us in a conversation towards this. And so we just want to look to that this month. And last week we talked about fame and the pressure of fame and how elusive that can be. And even if we're not like actually chasing trying to be famous, the pressure to be known and to do something significant sometimes lead us astray. So that was what we talked about last week. That's up on our website. It's on our podcast if you'd like to listen to that. Now, today I want to talk about comfort and something that is significant for all of us here. And that thing's just kind of freaking out. Can you go to a blank slide? Because the projector is like freaking out today. All right, there. I think that might work. We'll see. we're going to talk about comfort today. And if there's anybody that needs to hear this, it's me. This is one that I am absolutely drawn to, and we've become really good on it. If it's my preference, like every day, obviously I wouldn't do this, but every day I would love to just be laid out on the couch with a great drink and a game that's going on. I mean, the NBA playoffs just started, and so it's like unending games about to happen for, like, my wife is like, wait, when does it end? And I'm like, I think sometime in June. And so, I mean, I think she was celebrating the Super Bowl because that's like NFL's over. But then anyway, I've got it all mapped out. Actually, everybody's mapped it out for me. But I remember, you know, when my kids were very little, I would be living the dream on the couch. There I go. I'm doing it. And they're like running up to me because they're like at my height on the couch. And they're like, hey, let's go outside. Let's play. And you know, sometimes I would. Let's go for a bike ride. And there's days where it's like I would. And you guys would be like, you're a terrible person. I'd be like, sorry, I'm just tired. And you're like, wow, well, how could you do that? And it's like, because we love comfort. And the couch is comfortable. So there's always a trade-off with comfort. Here's what's amazing. My kids are older now, not that much older, but they're older. And even yesterday, I was just wanting to do. There was a nice day, and one of my daughters came to me and was like, hey, let's go for a walk. And it was like this, hey, let's do something together. And so we are inherently selfish. And so comfort is not necessarily a bad thing. There are things that God has given us. But today we just want to identify where our hearts tend to betray us when it comes to this. Because comfort is ultimately leading to ourselves and selfishness. But what we are saying is we're trying to live our best life. We're trying to live our best life. And so then if you read about Jesus or if you read about his words, Jesus comes onto the scene and he says this. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And so then it's like, wow, well, are his words true? Is this true for us? Now, eventually, you and I come to this tension where, you know, Jesus will say things where like, I don't know, like, you've come to have life for the full for that. Maybe something else. And you will eventually find yourself in tension. And we take the pleasures that God has given us, and we're like, nope, I don't think it's meant to be that way. I'm going to take it from here. And we walk towards something that we think will bring us pleasure and specifically comfort. And so what we've done, and if you've been with us before, I've talked about this, we confuse the difference between pleasure and happiness. And there's a difference for what is pleasure and then what actually makes you and I happy. Now, we confuse it because we engage in things that do bring us pleasure, and that makes us happy in the moment. But long term, does it really make you happy? Here's the thing. We are created with a capacity for both things, for both things. It's not either or. It just really comes down to a question of priority. Priority, which is most important. And so Christ is coming along to you and I, and he's bringing you and I incredible words of life, incredible things for us to know in a deep way. And I hope that you and I can see that today. And what I want to do is ultimately get to the core, the foundation of it all that helps you and I with these decisions that you're going to be making. Decisions that you're wrestling with right now and decisions that you're going to wrestle with in the future. And we're drawn to this and we're drawn to this. So we need to be reminded. And I need to be reminded. And it's an interesting job being a pastor because I'm not standing up here every week saying all these things that I've got perfectly done. I walk through this and I'm like, man, like, yeah, I'm dealing with this right now. And so we just need to be careful with the idea of pleasure and happiness and understanding that there is a difference and when it comes down to a priority. So I'm going to talk about two main things up front, and I'm going to walk through each one, and then we'll have some greater application of that. But two big things. One is about comfort. And this seems, you know, pretty obvious because it's the series name, but the comfort is elusive. And we'll put both of these up front. Comfort is elusive. It's something that you will never stop chasing. There's always a better way for you and I to be comfortable. It's amazing how you can get satisfied with your car until you go look at other cars. And then you get back into the car that you're in, and you start seeing it very, very differently. You see the dirt a little bit more than you used to before, how you got used to it. And so you chase that. You go to the next thing, or your phone. You know, iPhone's got a commercial out right now. It's like constant, because I'm watching these NBA games, and it's there every time. But it's like, we just realized that people want storage. And so they're like, hey, if the new phone has more storage. Like, so, you know, it never ends. Comfort is elusive. And so we can talk about, you know, smaller things, but eventually there are things that you are saying right now that you think is going to be the next thing for you. So just be careful. We need to remember this. Comfort is elusive. It also can lead you astray or lull you to sleep. I don't know. I have been wrestling with how to phrase this second point. But because comfort can be so comfortable, we think that everything is great and it's okay, so we have to be careful. So let's break this down. First, comfort is elusive. So at the center of most temptations, things that lead you and I over the edge and where we break your rules and the things that lead you to regret, the center is that confusion between pleasure and happiness. So we're created for both. And so it's that priority thing. But one thing will lead to the other, and the other one undermines the other one. So if you put pleasure first, it ultimately will undermine your happiness. But if you learn to prioritize, and you're like, I am prioritizing my happiness, but understand the difference between the two. Usually we're trying to prioritize pleasure. It will help you have them. But if you do it backwards, you'll have neither. And eventually, pleasure, comfort, loses its pleasure and becomes a prison. And we think we're chasing our freedom. We think that we're chasing things that will free me up, but ultimately we're walking into a prison. And so Paul shows us this over and over again in the scriptures, and he's writing to all these different churches, and he writes Romans, which is a brilliant discourse on the gospel and what Christ has done. And he says this. This is found in Romans 6:16. And he starts with this phrase, which is such a funny comment. He says, don't you know? Which usually means apparently not. He's like, don't you know? Like, yeah, I don't think you do. But don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slave of the one that you obey. It's a very logical thing. Like, if I'm going to be a servant of you, like, I now have to obey you. And he's making an analogy. So he says, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So he's like, don't you know this? And these are interesting terms for us, because when we hear sin and righteousness, it's such religious terms. But there are things that we chase as our ultimate thing, as our ultimate priority. He's like, be careful, because they lead to death. He's like, did no one tell you, is what he, you know, a modern translation, but did no one tell you that when you offer yourself to pleasure, you become pleasure's slave? But when you offer yourself in obedience to God, you will have peace with God. And that paves the way for peace with ourselves, and it equips you to make peace with others, to make peace with others. And this is interesting, because when you and I, when we are not happy, we're tempted to opt for pleasure in order to feel better. And there's all kinds of things for us, right, to chase. And none of these things are bad in and of themselves. I just want you to understand, because religion has been known for this, right, to say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. No, there is joy in some of these things. God created us for food and for drink. But when we're not happy, we pursue this to help us make us feel better. But that $5 drink, $4 drink, the one that I like is $3.73. In one place, $4 in the other. How do I know that? Because I go there every week. You know, like, it ends. Like, it's, you know, so many ounces. And so comfort is elusive. And Paul shows us the deeper side of that, that it is an idol, and it actually will enslave us. And we're not happy. But we don't make that connection. And so one question to go along with this point is there a pleasure that's undermining your happiness? And what I find with me is I don't make the connection. And I find myself getting more unhappy and anxious and not at ease and all those different things. And I just am like, well, what do I need? And we keep thinking, I need to pursue this more and more. And we don't realize how it's leading us down. So be careful. It's elusive. The second one was this, is that comfort will lead you astray or lull you to sleep or just kind of make you think that everything's okay. And Jesus was talking about this. In Matthew 19:23-24, he says this. It says, Jesus said to disciples, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, he's not saying rich people won't enter the kingdom of heaven. He's just like, it's pretty difficult. And so then he says this, again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. I've heard interesting jokes about this one. It's like, we'll just make the eye bigger. And like, we're like, all right, we can't. And why bring this up today? Because you and I, whether you feel this or not, we are rich. If you think you're one of the poorest people here today, you are still living probably in the top 1% of the world right now. And so that means it's really hard for you and I, because of everything that we have, to make our way to God. And so Jesus is saying, hey, be careful. Now, we've talked about this, and I mention this always, like it's not wrong to be rich, and we see in Scripture that God has appointed some to be rich and to be poor, and we, in our culture, in our society worldwide, we just attribute so much to significance being tied to the money that we have, and God does not look at that like that. And so it's the love of money that leads to evil. Money is not evil. It's the love. So we, you know, we're just kind of going back to that. But Jesus is saying, be careful. Comfort says, hey, things are going well. And it's possible to go through life and to miss the point. I think there's a lot of Christians that I've heard say things where, like, well, if your life is going well, then everything should be fine. But God doesn't always say that. And so we think that we're okay. God's like, just be careful. Be careful, because it can lull you to sleep. And so it's a warning sign for you and I. One of the best things for me personally to have experienced, and I've experienced this a couple different times, is for me to be in places where I was living around others who were either in great poverty or didn't have much, or their life were like incredible circumstances. And I've had the privilege of being in places where people were seeking asylum, they didn't have jobs, they've had to flee. And I have been on these trips where we're working with organizations that minister to those people. And if you know, if you've ever experienced this before, you've heard me talk about it. So many times we go into those situations thinking that we're going to help those others. But what we usually find is they end up helping us actually more in return. And yes, they are suffering and they're going through hard things. But what I saw and what I experienced in them was a genuineness in their relationships with one another. They were broken in a way that they knew how fragile their lives were. They had seen what they had disappear, whether it was their families or their jobs or their country or the stability that was happening around them, and they had come face to face with their actual humanity. And that led to them having a need for God and understanding how important that was for them and for them to seek it out. And not only that, but their dependence upon Him. And I remember there's so many images and experiences in my life where I just have these, I can see others crying out to God for their dependence and for their need and for their strength. And it also brought about a great genuineness in their relationships. And it immediately exposed my own relationships and my own life and the walls that I had. Without even having to say a word, I was immediately thinking about contentiousness in relationships that I had over our own pride and our own comfort and the own wealth that we had. And here they were, this was so fascinating, they were looking at me as like, this is, you have got the life that I want to get to, that I'm trying to go. Like, I want to be able, like, I remember a couple, really young couple, like, we're trying to get to America. And like, I mean, you know, they're saying these things to me, and I remember looking at them in the same exact moment thinking, you have no idea how special what is going on right now is. And how I am finding a greater genuineness in relationships and a closeness to God than I've been experiencing in my own world. And it blew me away. And it reminded me of how my comfort can lull me to sleep. Now, with saying all that, does that mean that, okay, for the moral of the story is we've got to sell everything and we've got to give up our jobs and all the things that leads to that? No, like that's not what this is saying. Obviously, we're not to put ourselves purposely into poverty. We call that the poverty gospel. There's several things. There's a side where you have the prosperity gospel. If I follow God, He's supposed to make me rich, and that's not true. And then we can have the poverty gospel. We think that I've got to, like, it's wrong to have money in any kind of way, and we don't see that in Scripture either, but we recognize the suffering. We recognize the suffering in them. Sorry, that's what I was going to say. And we want to help lead them out of that. And there is justice that's needed, and we want to lean into those situations. And that's one of the reasons why I was there. But the point is, our comfort can lead us astray. We think that we're okay, but that may or may not be true. So with that foundation, comfort is elusive. We're always chasing it, and it can be deceptive. It deceives. And so why say all this? It's because ultimately comfort, and you could honestly say this for just about anything, whatever it is that you're chasing, but comfort is an idol and a replacement of what is really most satisfying. But it's also a picture of great good. So when you and I are, maybe you're at a beach, or you experience good relationships, or something that is great, has, brings great pleasure or comfort to you, it's really a picture of the beauty that God has made us for. Those genuine relationships that I experience, it's a glimpse of who God is and what only He can bring in full. And this is what I want to lead you to today. To remind us, like the Paul saying, don't you know? Remind us that whatever it is, it won't really fulfill. I mean, if comfort and pleasure brought us full happiness, we would be living in the happiest country on earth right now. I don't think we're that happy right now. So what do we need to be led to? Well, I want to read from John, 1 John 4. And here's what it says. Sorry, this is just verses 7 through 12. It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God." Misspelling there, my apologies. From God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And you've probably heard that, God is love. But the only way for us to even know, like, it's not that God loves. No, He is love. Any love that we have ever experienced has come from somewhere, and it comes from God. That is His being, who He actually is. We talk about how He is life, and He is love. And so any kind of love that we've experienced has only come from Him, any true, genuine love. And He has given that to us. So He seeks us out. And it says, it continues, it says, God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. And so God the Son comes into the world as a living sacrifice. He loves us this deeply that He was killed for our behalf, showing how true and genuine this love is. Then it says this, this is real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And this is John, 1 John 4:10, a significant statement. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. He loved us. And that is what we are chasing and what we seek is this genuine love where He is our friend and He is pleased with you. And that is what you and I ultimately need and want is He loves you. He's pleased with you. He's not here that you'll be afraid. He's here that you'll be loved and freed up in a way that only He can bring. And we just need to be able to rest in that and know that it'll be okay. And John is passionately writing this. He continues, he says, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us." Have you ever said out loud recently or this year or this decade, you know, man, we're just, everybody's polar opposites, and like, how do we find a way? Well, Christ showed us that example. And we're like, well, how do we know God exists? Well, it's allowing him, giving ourselves to him, and allowing him to love us. And as you and I, we love each other and then love others, that his love is brought to full expression in us. And people will see God. Now, we think that means that, you know, the assumption then is, this is just a quick aside, that, you know, everything's, like, there's nothing hard said, that we just, everything's love and everything's just great. But, you know, if you read Jesus' words and you see what he said, how he loves us isn't easy. He's calling you and I away from ourselves and away from selfishness. And so he was constantly coming to many people and saying, there is a way that will lead to your destruction and lead to your death. We just read that from Paul. And it means that there is a right and a wrong. The fact that Christ had to die means there is a line that leads to death that is wrong. There is sin in the world, and we don't like that, but it would be unloving to say that. The most loving thing to do is for him to show us what is perfect and what is good and to lead us to this. But this is deep, like God loving us first. And I was reading the book C.S. Lewis wrote called The Problem of Pain, and ultimately we struggle with God because of pain. And in this book, which is not an easy read, by the way, but he's talking about God's love for us, and he's really expounding on 1 John 4. And he talks about how we've been made for him, and he says this. He says, we were made, this is not for the screen, I'm just going to do a couple of quotes from this section of his book. And it's pretty early on, but he says, we were made not primarily that we may love God, though we were made for that too, but that God may love us, that we may become objects in which the divine love may rest and say, well pleased. When Christ came, he was baptized by John the Baptist, and it was this significant event, and when he comes up out of the water, God out of heaven says out loud, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And that is the God that wants to love you, to be pleased with you. But we know, we feel it, and we're angry with God because we have done things that have pushed us away from him, and we know that, and so we're mad at him. And we don't understand, and we've pushed away. But God, and even though that divide exists, didn't leave us there. He sent Christ to take the punishment we deserved, to take the fear of death away, and all those things. It's so important. So that, because his desire for us is to live in that beauty, to be, for God to be well pleased with you and I. And I just want you to know that I don't always feel that way. And I need and long for a God that is pleased. And so that is, you know, and C.S. Lewis is expounding there. We need to understand his love for us to be able to experience that. He says this also. He says, and this is a little hard to understand, but he says, if he who himself can lack nothing, God doesn't need anything, chooses to need us, because that's what him loving us does. He says, it is because we need to be needed. Before and behind all the relations of God to man, and now we learn them from Christianity, yawns the abyss of a divine act of pure giving. God, anything God does is just all giving. He says, the election of man, so choosing us from a non-entity to the beloved of God, and therefore, in some sense, the needed and desired of God, who but for that act needs and desires nothing, since he eternally has and is all goodness. He says, this act is for our sakes, for bringing us into existence and loving us. And because we need him, like he needs us, he is chosen to need us. It's a profound statement. But he lacks nothing. But he's chosen Nita so that we can be in this unified relationship. And then Lewis says this, it is good for us to know love and best for us to know the love of the best object, God. He is the one we're chasing. And the irony is that comes from our surrender to him, where we think we're losing our freedom, but in fact, we're finding the greatest treasure that we have. And this is the invitation to you. This is the foundation that we need to know. And Lewis says this too. He says, our highest activity must be response, not initiative. Like, we're just constantly going to the genie God. God, give me this. I need this. I need this. But our activity is to respond to who he is. He says, to experience the love of God in a true and not an illusionary form is therefore to experience it as our surrender to his demand, our conformity to his desire. And so that's what we sing of. Today we sing these words, I will sing of your great love forever. Because we found this treasure. He is what makes us happy. And then conversely, when we want something other than the thing God wants us to be, we must be wanting, in fact, what will not make us happy. It's about priority. So, what is it that you are chasing? I just wanted to put three things for you to think about. And you can write these down. We'll put them all up here. One is identify what you are chasing. There is something that you are longing for right now. Every one of us here that you don't have, some event, some location, some picket fence or some outcome, some step or promotion or relationship, some achievement. A job or a city or a setting or some peace or there's something, an outcome that you are desperate to see. And then the question is, what does that promise you? Whatever it is you're chasing, and it can be a noble thing or just something that you just want. But what is that promising to you? To take the time to identify. Usually the phrase is, if I only had this, or if this happened, then. So just catch yourself this week, all right? Because I'm doing it. And sometimes it's subtle and some of it's very obvious. So just identify. That's so key. And then learn to be thankful. You and I have so much. Even if you feel like you have a little, God has given us so much, and we need to learn to be thankful. Our world does not know how to do that, and we can be that example. That will change your heart on its own. And then the third thing is this, is to pursue the purpose God has for you now. And this is both a positive pursuit and what you may consider to be the negative pursuit. Pursue what he has for you now. These are troubling times. And so it is actually the opportunity to live life full now, that we can trust God and lean in. You have a great opportunity. You are here today. You've chosen to be part of this church family. And many of you are new. It's a season where many are coming in and taking steps, and we love that. And there's a great opportunity to engage in community, to serve, and to be part of this, you know, what God is doing here in this city and ultimately in your life. And it's all intertwined together. But in your own personal life, there's trouble, there's things that you're wrestling with, and God wants you to use that for great purpose. And so part of number three is allowing the trouble in your life now to bring you to God's feet. This loving Father. You need his strength. He is the only one that can fulfill the promise to you. More than anything else. And for me, that's true. More than even my own family, my own wife, my own job. He is what I need. And I, as a pastor, I resist that. Identify, be thankful, and lean in. Whatever it is, go to God. Love God and love others. Like, I don't know how to do this. Well, we always encourage you to take steps. Engage in community. We hope this is a place where this will be your church family. Serve with us to be part of teams. Join one of our dinner groups. We have dinner groups that meet during the week where we can be in relationship with one another and be in community. And then engage the city around you. This is a great time of year. We're in the lead up to our Go Jersey City event in June, where we serve the city on a huge day, and then we throw a party when we're done. And there's just all this opportunity to live in the purpose now, to get outside of yourself, because when you do that, you'll experience the purposes God has called you to. You want to learn to seek him and to seek others. Because the truth is, and I'll end with this, the truth is that we are blessed. And it's incredible. And God has blessed us today in many ways. And I just want to be thankful for that. We are blessed as a church. God has provided for us here. Many of you give every month, and that is how we're able to love well. It's part of that. It's not why we do it, but it allows us to rent these facilities. It allows us to support. I calculated recently, in the couple years we've been meeting at Nimbus, have been able to donate more than $150,000. We just crossed that threshold last month, I believe. There's a purpose for us being here, and it helps them run their, like, they have high rent in this place. It's supposed to be quote-unquote discounted, but I've talked with them about that. I love the opportunity to impact the community. That's just one small way in which God puts Christ followers in the city to be part of this great mission. And I love that. There's great purpose in all things. But we love you. And whether you give or not, by the way, we want to pour our lives out for you to know Christ and to find him. We are blessed. And so some of you are positioned to give, and we invite you to do that. We are supported 100% by you. But also to be in community. We're passionate about you and to create community. It's not easy, especially in this city. And so we are partners with you in this. And so take those steps. Meet our connection team. We'd love to help you do that. After the service, I'm going to do a welcome gathering. I'd love to share with you a couple of things in about 10 minutes about who we are as a church, how you can take next steps. Join me today if you've not been part of our welcome gathering. But ultimately, I want to point you to Christ. His love. Identify what you're going through. And then what's the promise that whatever this is you're seeking? And then how can you find instead your fulfillment in your loving Father? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for your love, that you loved us first. And I pray that we would let go, that I would let go of the idols that I'm clinging to so tightly with my fist, and instead surrender to you. I thank you for your provision. I thank you for your love for us, and that even in a troubled world, that we don't have to be afraid, because you have overcome the world. And we don't have to fear. God, thank you for the peace that only you can bring. I pray that we would experience that. God, I know that there are many things going through the hearts of all of us here today as we hear these words. I pray that we would know that you know and you care. You know what we need even before we do. God, I thank you for the hope that brings us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.